You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
So you're selling to, let's say, municipal police officers. You're selling the city a vehicle that they can use to communicate, and there's no monthly charge.
Well, that's a little different. That's when you're hitting repeater towers and things like that, where you have to transmit over large areas, like the police departments. They need to be able to go.
Oh, so there is a fee for that.
There is.
Okay.
But I primarily deal with like your school system. Like I'll give a janitor a radio, the head of school a radio, and they communicate within the confinements of the school. And that's usually strong enough to do without, needing repeaters or towers or anything like that.
Now, have they gotten smaller? Because when I think of my first cell phone was a Motorola, which, by the way, I liked. It was a flip phone. Mm-hmm. And when you flipped it, you knew you were off. Instead of now you call somebody and they accidentally call you back and go, what's that tinkle, tinkle, tinkle on here? Yeah. I don't want to hear this. You know what I mean?
A little butt dial going on.
Oh, yeah, really. So it's like, that's great with Motorola, but I'm trying to figure out in my mind what this looks like today. Because I remember when I was a kid, you get into a taxi cab, they had a Motorola. You get into a police car, which didn't happen to me, thank God.
Those are all mobile radios. That's different than like a handheld. So when you walk into a restaurant, you see somebody wearing a little earpiece and a small little radio. That's what I do.
The president's about to enter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I got to supply, when Trump was doing his rallies, I was supplying their rally teams with their radios. So.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to meet him?
No.
Oh. I would like to interview him. Yeah. I'd like to say, could you please just I will be your best friend. I am. I was the first one in this town to get behind him. Mm-hmm. I mean, and a lot of people now are Trumpsters. They were so resistant, so I feel very proud, and so he should give me an audience.
You never know. I would
be honest with him and say, I want to be your friend, but you got to put a guard at your mouth because people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Now, we overlook that because a lot of, I think, left-wingers think, how can you possibly get behind that guy? Because they're all with emotions. Mm-hmm. And I understand right where they're coming from. But I interviewed General Colin Powell, and to this day, I don't know why the day after General Colin Powell, and I believe I've become friends with people I interview, the day after General Colin Powell dies, who I think was a great man, he's saying something castigating his reputation, which you don't do, Donald, you don't do that. I have my worst enemy in this town died. I'm not going to speak ill of that person. Probably never, because they can't defend themselves. It's against the code.
Yeah.
And so Donald has some sort of a hurt little boy. And that's why I think women still voted for him. They know, women know. They know a lot of stuff. And they have intuitions, and they see, and they know the male ego, and they still love us anyway, which is kind of cool that God did that.
That's true.
And so I think he was hurt or something, because he's the kind of guy, he's your best friend, but if you throw a pebble at him, you're going to...
The rock's coming
back. He's going to get dynamite.
Yeah, something bigger is coming back, for sure.
But then he does reconnect with people, like that lady who was hard on him in the debate, and now he goes on her show, and all is forgiven, and to have that strength of character and that thick skin. Mm-hmm. But the common person... hears somebody. I remember long ago I used to sing at a little Quality Inn when I was in my early 20s, singing Bob Dylan songs and James Taylor songs and Neil Young. And then the waitress there, I know she said in upstate New York, she said, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You got to show that side,
Yeah, he's done incredible things. Try not to get into too much.
No, we don't want to get. Especially on this show. No, we don't want to do that because it's on WCNO, and I've been told keep it away from the politics, and that's really a very pleasurable thing to do, mm-hmm. to stay away from politics. We can talk about, I suppose, politicians, but I don't think we should castigate any spirits because everybody is redeemable.
Absolutely.
I remember one time I was thinking something about somebody or something, and I opened up the Bible and said, it essentially said, I hope I find it again and I can commit it to memory, but something about like, you know, don't judge them because you have seen God, they have not. And I'm going, well, I haven't seen God, but in a sense, yes, I have.
You have.
He's touched me. I've had a miraculous encounter. I know that I know that I know that he exists. So in a, essentially, yes, he's a spirit, not a flesh, and I have seen God. And so to judge others, no matter how bad they are, whether they're in prison or not, you know?
Yeah. Like Billy Graham said, you don't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind.
So listen, so remember I was telling you about Billy Graham? Mm-hmm. And so I told the Lord, I said, if you don't give me Billy Graham, I don't believe you've been in my life.
Wow.
And I'm an orphan.
Down, you threw
and he
down.
Says that he's a father to the orphan. So, come on now. You promise. I pray God's going, oy vey, I got to help this goyim out here. What are you doing? So anyway, so I get to meet Billy Graham, and I always wondered about his humility. So I figure, what the heck happened? And I'm about to ask him. When he does interrupt me, because I brought up the word humility, thinking, how do we get, I was going to ask him about his humility. And I never got to go any further because he didn't mean to cut me off at the pass, but I started, said, well, let's talk about humility. And he leans into me. We're alone in a room, and he goes, Rhett, if we're talking about humility, we haven't got it. Boom. So I never got to
mic
ask
drop
him.
Right there.
Because I did get to interview his daughter after he died. We spent about an hour and a half together, but it's like, well, I wonder what happened to him to give him that death blow. Because I'd heard, I don't even know this is, I was told years ago, he said, if you get a calling, you're going to get the death blow, and you're going to be reduced. And so the only thing I can surmise is that he loved a girl in high school, and she decided she didn't want to be married to a preacher.
Mm.
And so, of course, he found out, he found better. Ruth was like the perfect
match
for him on this earth. I mean, you know, they did accomplish so much together, and she put up with all that traveling. That was his only regret at the end, of course, that he didn't get to be with the children more often, you know?
Yeah.
Quite a sacrifice to save the world, but that guy just
existed. It had to be amazing interviewing him.
Yeah, I mean, what happened is, the Lord, I got favor with his publicity agent. We were at Jeb Bush's inauguration, and I'm running through the field to get over there, and he comes downstairs at the hotel, and we're down where the maids are. Because that way nobody's going to go down there. You know, it's hidden. So he pulls up in a car. He's in the front seat. He won't drive in a back seat, and he won't drive in a limo. So I think he may be 91 at the time. So here I go out there. I open up the door, and Billy Graham's holding on to me, and I'm helping Billy Graham get out of his car. You know, it's like, the Forrest Gump. My name's Forrest Gump. I just always get the favor here. So we go inside the door, and all these maids are there. Well, they know who he is, and they start crying.
Oh, wow.
Like, God is walking in here or something.
Wow.
It was it was really kind of cool, you know, and he's just and you remember I said I didn't have a dad, and you can relate to this. So at the beginning, he leans into me, and he goes, are you okay? I said, what's the matter? He said, well, your face is awfully red. I said, well, it's a cold, blustery day here in Tallahassee. We're not used to that being a Floridian. And by the way, he used to live in Vero Beach. I don't know if you know that. He had a place years ago. But anyway, but he did it with such kindness. I can't explain it. The whole time I was with him, looked me square in the eye, there was no agenda. He was not there to puff himself up. He was not there to do anything. He was not there to find fault with me or anyone else. He just was totally there in the moment for me and for my audience. And, you know, what's his name? Bill Clinton said at his darkest hour, you know, when he had that affair with Monica Lewinsky and all the press is on him. Of course, I always go for the loser. I always go for the kid that nobody liked in school. I always want to take them in. So at this time, I'm praying, please help Bill. I may not have voted for him, but please help Bill Clinton because, you know, nobody's all bad. And whatever happened, it happened. And I said, he's got to be thinking about suicide because at that moment, you got to just keep walking. You don't want to take a temporary problem with an eternal solution like suicide.
Right.
So I'm thinking he's got to be thinking about suicide. Anyway, so I found out later on that Billy Graham goes and sees Bill Clinton during this darkest hour. And he said Dr. Graham came to see him, he said, he didn't speak at me. He spoke with me.
Wow. Relationship right there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And something we can all learn from, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you get people yelling at people. I saw somebody castigated, ashamed in front of a group recently. And I was going to go up to the, right then I wanted to raise my hand. So I said, well, if you shame him for shaming him, then you're doing the same thing he's doing in front of this crowd. So I made sure I was friendly. I haven't broached the subject with him yet, but I did go over to the young man that was shamed in front of the public later on and said, "Hey, don't worry about it. We all make mistakes." And I wanted him to know that and I put my hand on his shoulders. I would have liked someone who was older do that to me at one time.
Kind of like the story of Jesus drawing the line in the sand, or drawing in the sand.
Oh, yeah.
With the lady, you know.
Yeah, caught in adultery.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, this sin, anybody here, you can throw, they're trying to catch him. Well, it says, Moses said we can sin an adulterer. He says, okay, you're trying to catch me, okay. You can kill her, you can kill her. But let the first stone come from the man standing here who's not guilty of this sin.
Right.
And they all dropped their rocks and went home.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Where are your accusers? I don't know, sir, they've left. Well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. What
sounds
a beautiful,
like
beautiful, beautiful story.
Sounds like that's what Billy did.
Now, look, we're talking with David Lloyd, Shift Culture, which is he has a bunch of people that get together with these exotic cars, and they have meetings. He also is, of course, the owner of Two-Way Radio Gear. If people want to, do you have a website for Shift Culture? So we have car enthusiasts that are listening.
Absolutely.
You're going to want to, this is not muscle cars, man. You went through that period, but this is exotic cars.
We have quite an array of different cars for sure, but they can find me on the website at shiftculture.co. That's S-H-I-F-T, culture, C-U-R-L-T-U-R-E.co. We're very... we do a lot of media work on Instagram, and you can find us at Shift Culture Official on Instagram or Facebook.
We have one more minute. Did I not broach any subject about cars or what you're doing that you might want to say something?
Wow. No, I think we've had a good conversation. I do want to just, again, highlight the April 6th event going on at Christian FM over at Central Assembly. This is going to be their first car show, and we've gotten behind them to really help them try and make this event a really big win for them on their first one out. So definitely want to come out April 6th.
Well, they're my competition, but I would tell you this, at my darkest hour, head guy there who oversees 250 stations came and helped me.
There you go.
Yeah. And I go, well, you're helping your competition, John. He goes, no. He says, you made something out of nothing here, Rhett, and you wanted to help me. Love. Not only that, he brought me a gift card.
There you go. Last thing, this Sunday is Easter. So obviously most people are going to be at church, but it happens to land on the last Sunday of the month, which is when we do our Cars and Coffee out in Port St. Lucie. But we will be holding a service, and we'll be doing the car event out there.
Again, the website?
Shiftculture.co.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Rhett. Appreciate it.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in Palm City, Florida. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10 a.m. We are a Reformed congregation, and so we believe that salvation is all of grace by faith in Jesus Christ alone and not of works. We are currently studying the Gospel of Matthew expositionally, verse by verse, every week. All sinners are welcome. So come as you are, but leave as he is.